Continuing the story from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyakanda chapter 7, Gadadhar Pandit meeting the glorious devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Although initially Gadadhar had faith in, initially Gadadhar had heard about Pundarik Vidyanidhi and he had some faith. But after he saw him, his eyes were telling him that his faith was misplaced. He saw, and what he saw, that it appeared externally from his vision that Pundarik was a materialist who was dressing very opulent and eating opulent food and appeared to be a sense enjoyer. So Mukunda Das, who was well known to Pundarik Vidyanidhi and wanted Gadadhar to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he started to explain again, reiterate the glories of Pundarik. So this is text 71, chapter 7. Bhuji Gadadhara Chitta Sri Mukunda Ananda Vidyanidhi Prakashite Karila Aramba. Understanding that Gadadhara's heart had changed after seeing the external appearance of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Mukunda happily began to reveal Vidyanidhi's glories. Krishnara Prasade Gadadhara Agochara Kichu Nahi Avedya Krishna Se Mayadhar. By the mercy of Krishna, nothing is unseen or unknown to Gadadhar, for Krishna is a lord of Maya. Mukunda Suswara Bhara Krishna Ragayan Parilena Shloka Bhakti Mahima Varnan. Then Mukunda, who sweetly sings the glories of Krishna, began to recite some verses glorifying devotional service. Mukunda Suswara Bhara Krishna Ragayan. So he sang very beautifully Parilena Shloka Bhakti Mahima Varna. Some shlokas to glorify bhakti for the pleasure of Pundarik. And this is the Bengali version of the Sanskrit shloka that he quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rakshasi putana shishu kahite nirdhaya Ishvare vendite gela kalakutalaya. The witch Putana mercilessly kills children. She tried to kill Lord Krishna with poison. Tahareyo matripara dele na ishvare nabajeya bhoda jiva hina doyalere. Yet the Lord awarded Putana the position of mother. How can a foolish person not worship such a merciful Lord? So these verses, Mukunda is speaking these verses in the presence of Gadadhar and in the presence of Pundarik, because he knows that when Pundarik Vidyanidhi hears these verses about the extraordinary mercy of Lord Krishna upon this Rakshasi, Putana Rakshasi, she's the forerunner of vampires, the original Adi vampire. Vampires, they suck the blood. Dracula. There's a famous personality from Bavaria called Dracula. He used to go and bite people's necks and suck their blood. And he wasn't doing blood testing. He was drinking his dinner. He was a Rakshasa. So Krishna, one Rakshasa came to kill Krishna. How old was he at that time? 6 days old. 1 week old baby. So innocent, so defenseless, harmless, powerless, lying on his belly or back. When they start on their belly? At 6 days, they're like this or like this?
Straight on the back.
On the back. Oh, then they flip over. That's when they grow up. Start crawling. Upside down cockroach. legs kicking in the air. Oh, flip me over. How long does it take to flip over the kid?
3 months.
3 months. Just imagine a cockroach on his backside for 3 months. How much anxiety. So the baby cockroach, the baby human being, is on his backside for 3 months before he flips over and starts running around the kitchen. Huh. So Krishna was like this, 6 days old, lying on his back. Putana came to kill him, and Krishna delivered her, accepted him as his mother. Tahari Matri Pada Dalenishvare. The Lord Krishna awarded her the position of mother. She became a datri in Goloka, a nursemaid. How can a foolish person not worship such a merciful Lord? It's amazing. Now this is the verse. These are the preliminary Bengali verses. And that Mukunda spoke to Gadadhar, which were used to incite the deep love in the heart of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And this is the actual verse from Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam chigam shaya payayad apyasadvi labegatim datriuchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam brajema. Alas, how shall he take shelter of one more merciful than Krishna, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and had prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast, Stana Kalakutam, Kalakutam. Very deadly poison. She rubbed on her breast with the intention of killing Krishna by poisoning him. Offering her breast like a mother, like a nursemaid, offering her milk to nourish him, but actually her intention was to kill him by feeding him that poison. But Krishna rejected the poison and extracted her life air and killed her, but awarded her by making her a mother. He accepted the good thing. It's called Bhava Grahi Janardan. Bhava Grahi Janardan. That Krishna, he accepts the essence of the bhav, even a demon. If he sees a demon, Rakshashi's coming to kill him, and he examines, he takes out magnifying glass, and he examines the heart. Is there any bhav in the heart? This is a gross demon, Rakshashi. This is premeditated murder. It's not manslaughter, it's called premeditated murder. Different types of murder once. So it's premeditated. She meditated beforehand. I will kill this boy. She was induced by Kansa. Kansa was her good buddy, good friend. So, to serve her friend, Kansa, then Putana came with this mission. He's a Kechari. Kechari. Like Brahmachari. Brahmachari means one who moves in the Brahman. He's supposed to be moving in Brahman. Brahmachari Gurukule. Brahman, Brahmachara, Brahman Achara. He who moves on a platform of Aham Brahmasmi, he is Brahmachari. He's not on the material platform, bodily platform. So she was Kechari. Kechari means moves to the K. K means Bhumirapo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddhirevacha. There's Bhumi, then there's Nala, there's water, there's fire, there's air, vayu, then there's kam, kham, kam, not like kam, like kam. Means ether, a very fine element that's contained within air, sometimes. If you create a vacuum and remove the air, you still have ether. She's Kechari, she could move through the sky like witches fly on broomsticks, you see, in the West, on Halloween, and witches and black cats. And they fly in the broomstick. And we describe once in class the whole technicalities of that. So I won't go into the details now. Why broomstick? And it's a whole thing. So this, she was like this. And the Bhagavatam glorifies this verse. Now there's more description of Putana. Putana loka balagni rakshashi rudir asana jigam shayapi haraye stanam dattvapa sadgatim. Putana was always hankering to drink the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord like a mother, she attained the greatest achievement. So these verses were spoken in Bengali and Sanskrit, some directly from the mind and heart of Mukunda, and some from the Bhagavatam, one from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Now, who's hearing these verses? Gadadhara Pandit's hearing these verses. The speaker, Mukunda Das, is hearing these speakers, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi is hearing these verses, glorifying the Bhaktivatsalya, the intense affection of Krishna for his devotees, even his covered devotees like demons. How affectionate Krishna is, because we say, Samo Ham Sarvabhuteshu Name Jveshu Stiyapriya. It says that the Lord, he's equal. Krishna's telling in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that he's equal to everyone. Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Na Jveshu Me Striya Naha. He says that Samadvesha, I see equal. Krishna sees equally to everyone. So even though she's a demon, she doesn't have Tilak and Kanti Mala, Tulsi Mala, she's a demon. But Krishna's being affectionate to her. Like Jesus in the Bible, if someone comes to insult you and they slap this cheek, then turn the other cheek. And this is called cheek, kapola. In Sanskrit, it's kapola, kapola, kapola. Someone goes, tong, and they slap you this way, then you go, okay, go like this, tong. So turn the other cheek. They slap one cheek, well, turn the other one. In other words, tolerance. Tatikshara karunika surida sarvadehina. Kapila Muni explains that this is the overriding characteristic of a sadhu, tatikshara. So Krishna, who's more tolerant than Krishna? Because all the sadgunas, all the good qualities come from Krishna. 26 qualities of a devotee. They're certainly in Krishna in unlimited amounts. So here Krishna, I mean this glorification of Krishna is being spoken, showing the extremity, the highest presentation of Krishna's mercy, that he's merciful even to someone who comes to murder him. Because there are 6 type of aggressors which are described in the Vedas. And any one of these aggressors, if they come and they perform their acts of aggression, they can be killed, at least according to Manu Samhita or Vedic law. Vedic law or Manu Samhita. If you kill any one of these 6 aggressors, there's no reaction. There's no sinful reaction. Of course, you may get arrested in the material world. The 6 aggressors, one is the arson. The arson means a person who comes to burn up your house or burn down your business. Maybe he decides to fly a jet plane into your building. So he's trying to fly a jet plane into your World Trade Center. So if you kill him before he does that, or while he's trying to do it, there's no reaction. The arson. And the other aggressor is the one who tries to usurp your property. Usurp your property, which means to steal or encroach or take over your property. Because people in the old days, they had vast land, tracts of land. They wouldn't even know what was going on in the corner of their property. And it happens a lot also in Mayapur. And ISKCON has property and different people. Local Bengalis try to take over a piece. Of course, they don't kill them, but these, they could be killed according to Vedic law. Of course, Bengal law may be different. And the other type of aggressor is one who tries to steal your wife. Someone tries to steal your wife, you can kill them. Like this, these 6 aggressors. So, and one who tries to murder you, one who comes to kill you, obviously he's an aggressor. And if you kill him, then there's no. So Putana is one of these 6 type of an aggressors. She came to kill Krishna, premeditated murder. So by Vedic law, by Manu Samhita, Krishna had all rights to kill her. It was completely religious and dharmic for him to kill her, even though she was a woman. And women, Brahmins, and old men should never be killed or harassed. Old men, women, young or old, and Brahmins should never be killed or offended. But if one of those persons becomes an aggressor and tries to kill you, then you can kill them. That's also dharmic. So Krishna, he could have upheld dharma and killed her. Of course he did. But what did he kill? He killed her intention. He killed her bad intention, her intention to kill him. But he liberated her. He made it his... He could have killed her and locked her away in the Brahman effulgence. Oh, you came to murder me. You're not a very nice person. You smeared your breath, stana kalakutam. Stana kalakutam. You put kalakutam, the most virulent type of poison one could imagine. You smeared on your breast to kill me. So, okay, I'll kill you, but I'll give you mukti like so many other demons I killed. I'll put you in Nirvishesh Brahman. I'll merge you in my jyoti and forget about you. I'll just put you in one corner of my light, my jyoti for my body, Brahman effulgence. But he didn't do that. You would think if someone comes to murder you, you may say, okay, I'll keep, you can stay around, but stay away. I don't want to see you. I don't want to look at you. But Krishna is so merciful, even though he took away her Rakshashi body, he gave her a spiritual body. He awarded her a spiritual body. He didn't annihilate her individuality and absorb her in the Brahman effulgence and deny her individuality and absorb her in Brahman. He accepted her individuality, Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He accepted the essence of her heart to worship, to actually be his mother. And he gave her a spiritual body in Vatsalya Bhav as a datri, as a nursemaid in Goloka. Just like Ambika, Kalimba and Ambika. So this is a great promotion. Now when all these verses describing this incredible mercy and love of Krishna were heard by Pundarik Vidyanidhi, you'll hear what happened to him. Shunilena matra bhakti yogara varnam Vidyanidhi lagilena karita krandan Nayaneya purva vahe Shri Ananda Dhara Jena Ganga Devira Haila Avatar Ashru Kampa Sweda Murcha Pulaka Hunkar Ekakale Haila Sabhara Avatar. As soon as Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this amazing descriptions from Mukunda of devotional service and the bhakti, he began to cry. The unprecedented flow of tears from Pundarik's eyes appeared like an incarnation of Ganga Devi. All the symptoms of ecstatic love, tears, like tears, shivering, perspiration, losing consciousness, hair standing on end, and loud shouting simultaneously manifest in his body. As soon as Vidyanidhi heard the singer Mukunda's recitation of the glories of Bhakti Yoga, so Pundarik became so absorbed in ecstasy that the 8 genuine transformations of ecstatic love manifest in his body. So these 8 transformations are known as sattvic, ashta sattvic vikara. Vikara means transformation. So ashta sattvic vikara. So these type of transformations, sometimes people can maybe imitate or fool someone by manifesting some tears or maybe some trembling, but not all 8 ashta sattvic vikaras. So the Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he heard the glories of bhakti and the glories of Krishna in relation to even Putana, he completely went into ecstasy. It stimulated his own love and his heart for the Lord. Bolam holabhali mahalagila garjite stira haite na parila bhadila bumite. Pundarik roared loudly while exclaiming, "Go on reciting, go on reciting! Bolo, bolo, more, more, aniyor, keep, tell me more of this Bhagavatam." Then he could not remain steady and he fell on the ground. Vlatya chadhera gaye yateka sambhar, bangi lasa kala raksha nahikaro ar. Absorbed in his own ecstasies of Krishna consciousness, Pundarik Vidyanidhi broke all the surrounding paraphernalia by kicking his feet. Nothing was spared. And we heard that when Mukunda brought Gadadhar to meet Pundarika Vidyaniti, he saw that apparently Pundarika Vidyaniti was wallowing in the lap of luxury. Gold spittoons on the floor, brass canopy bed, beautiful silk shirt with diamond studs, big wad of pan in his mouth, so many people fanning him with peacock feathers, drops of sapari on his lips. And he was looking in a mirror and combing his greasy hair. His hair was full of amalaki oil. But when he heard these verses from Mukunda, the glories of Krishna and Putana, how Putana was liberated, made a Dattri, a nurse of Krishna, then he lost everything. He's rolling on the floor, kicking the spittoon here and there, all of it, ripping off his shirt, and total disregard. Nothing was spared. Everything was completely topsy-turvy. Kota Gela Divya Bhatta Divya Guya Pan Kota Gela Jhari Japte Kare Jala Pan. What happened to the opulent pond container and the nicely prepared pond? What happened to the water pots that were used to drink water? Kotai Padilagya Shaya Padaghate Prema Veshe Divya Vastra Chire Duihate. Where did the bed fall by the kick of Pundarik's feet? Out of ecstatic love, he tore apart his opulent cloth with his two hands. It's quite an amazing and dramatic scene if you can enter this scene with your eyes of your heart and become absorbed in the mood and the rapture and the deep emotional experience of Pundarik Vidyaniti. He's going completely mad. He's just shivering, his whole body's shivering and trembling, his body's changing color, and he's choking, his voice is choking, his hair is standing, and then tears are rushing from his eyes like Ganga, like two Ganga rivers. It's an incarnation of Ganga Devi, just constant, continuous flow of tears rushing from his eyes. He collapses on the ground, he's rolling around the ground, flailing his legs this way and that way in his arms, ripping off his shirt, throwing the water pot, the pond, everything, everywhere. And Gadadhar's eyes are like, wow, oh my God, I made a terrible mistake. I really miscalculated. I was judging the cover, not understanding what's inside. I only saw externally, and I drew the wrong conclusion. I made a huge mistake. Commit mistakes, the tendency to illusion, the cheating propensity, the imperfect senses. I'm subject to all the four defects. They've all worked on me. And immerse me into the depths of illusion, which has produced within me an offensive mentality. I was actually thinking very offensively towards this Pundarika Vidyaniti. I thought, he's a gross Vishayi. He's a Vishayi. He's a gross materialist. Mukunda was dragging me over here saying that he was a great devotee and I should meet this great devotee. Ah, what is this? This is what I thought when I walked in the room. I saw his amalaki greased down hair and his silk shirt and spittoon and pan, and looking in the mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And now I'm seeing a total madman exploding in divine ecstasy, rolling on the floor and just ripping everything, a volcanic eruption of rapture. And it doesn't stop here. Kota, is everything, Kotai, where, what happened, what? Kotai, where, what? Kota Gela Seva Divya Keshara Samskar Dulaya Lotaye Kare Krandana Par. What happened to Pundarik's opulent hairstyle as he rolled on the ground and cried profusely? Minutes before this, we were hearing that he was quite preoccupied with dressing his kesh, pomade. Putting the pomade on his hair. Pomade means Vaseline, which is good for afros, afro hair. He's greasing the amalaki oil on his hair and combing his hair and admiring his beautiful hairstyle. Now he's pulling his hair out, ripping his hair out. Oh, Krishna Bhagavan. It's quite amazing. Krishna re Thakuramora, Krishna Mora Pran, Bore Sekariva Kashta Pashana Saman. Now this is how he's crying loudly. He's saying, "Oh Krishna, my Lord! Oh Krishna, my life and soul! You have made my heart hard like wood or stone. Kashta Pashna Saman. Kashta Pashna. Anutap. Anutap means he's burning moment by moment. This is literally what it means, but in Bengali, anutap means lamenting. Because when you're lamenting, there's a type of inner burning. The mind is burning, the heart is burning when one is in lamentation. Vilap. In Sanskrit, they say vilap. Vilap. But in Bengali, it's anutap. Tap means tapasya. Tapasya means fire. When you perform austerities or observe penance, you become fiery. Your body becomes hot. Tap. Tap means tej. Tej, fire, heat, warmth. And that heat burns up the material desires, which are also very hot. Lust is very hot, and greed is very hot. They're like vish. Vishayi means one who's burning in poison. Vish means poison. So vishayi is a sense enjoyer. One who's burning in his own poison. One who's being consumed or burned up by the poison of his own desire. Lust is vish. Kam vish. Krod vish. Lob vish. Vishayi. Vishayi. Poison. You've heard this. Amrit and Vish. Bhakti Rasa Amrit. Bhakti is Amrit. Nectar. No death. Amrityu. One who is absorbed in Krishna Bhakti, he lives eternally. His bhakti is eternal, transcendental, and carries one to the Nitya Dham, Golok Dham. But one who is absorbed in Vishayi, he stays in the ocean of material existence. Vishayi Sagar. Vishayi Sagar, the ocean of material existence. So now this is his, he's lamenting. Anutap means he's burning moment to moment. He's lamenting and he cried loudly. Anutapa Kariya Kandaye Uchai Swari Muise Vanchita Hailon Hina Avatari. Pundarika is crying out and lamenting, in your present incarnation I have been deceived. Mahagaragari Diya Ye Pariyachad Sabe Mani Bhave Kiva Churna Hoylahad. Pundarik fell to the ground and rolled about so forcefully that everyone thought, have his bones been broken to pieces? Hina Sahaila Kampa Bhave Ravikare Dasha Jani Darila O Darite Napare. Pundarik Vidyanidhi shivered so vigorously out of ecstatic love for Krishna that even 10 men could not hold him still. So, he's just shivering, he's just shaking and shivering, and people were trying to hold him and he's just throwing him off like some sumo wrestler or something. He was just, you know, 10 men couldn't hold him. So 10 men can't hold a sumo wrestler, he's too much stout and strong. Vastra Shaya Jhari Bhatti Sakala Sambhar Padaghate Sabagela Kichu Nahyar. Clothes, bedding, water pots, bowls, and all of their paraphernalia were smashed to pieces by the kicking of Pundarik's feet. There was not a single item that was spared. So all of his opulent accoutrements and paraphernalia was completely smashed and destroyed in the fury of his divine ecstasy and love of God. Sevaka sakala jay karila sambaran sakala rahila se vyavahara dhan. All the Pundarik's servants then pacified him and protected whatever was left. Tried to salvage some of his paraphernalia before he destroyed everything in his tandaranitya of divine bliss. E mata katakshana prema parak Pakashiya Anande Murchita Haya Takila Padila. After revealing his ecstatic love for some time in this way, he remained lying on the ground unconscious due to ecstasy. Ananda Murchita. What an amazing display of transcendental love. Tila Matra Dhatunahi Sakala Shariri Dubilena Vidyanidhi Ananda Sagare. There was no symptom of life in the entire body as Pundarik Vidyanidhi merged in the ocean of bliss. Ananda Sagar. Dubilena Ananda Sagar. Deki garadhara maha haila vismita takana se mane bhara haila chintita hina mahashay anni avagya karilun konva ashubakshane dekita ayulun.
After seeing this, Gadadhar Pandit was struck with wonder and became somewhat worried.
Chintata. Baro chintata. Very worried.
I have disregarded such a great personality. At what inauspicious time did I come to see him?
So, he was really in a dilemma now. Because he had considered this Mahabhagavat, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, to be an ordinary materialist. So he was worried. What was he worried about? Thinking that he had committed a Vaishnava Parad. This was his Bada Chintita. Chintita. Chinta, right? Chinta in Hindi, you say chinta? Anxiety or anxious. Chinta. So he was wondering, he was in some mental distress over the possibility, the strong possibility that he had committed a Vaishnava Parad. And this is a symptom of sincerity and devotion. If someone is sincere, of course, there's actually one lecture tape, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if someone is very sincere about his bhakti, he'll never make any mistakes. Or then he asks a question, what does it mean to be sincere? But he says one who is very sincere in devotional service will never make any mistakes. How is that? Or why is that? Because Krishna within the heart will guide him how to behave. And space and sincerity also implies saralata. Be very simplicity, straightforwardness, no deceit, freedom from deceit, transparency. Transparency in thought, transparency in words, transparency in deeds. No deceit. So this is one explanation of the meaning of sincerity. And this type of mentality, straightforwardness, simplicity and sincerity is very attractive to Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So therefore he gives guidance from within the heart, turn left, turn right, do this, do that. But even then, sometimes a sincere devotee, and as I said, the proof of his sincerity is that if by chance, by circumstance, or occasionally, he may slip into a situation where he commits an aparad. But immediately upon committing that aparad due to his sincerity, then he'll feel something funny. He'll feel something funny in his mind or his heart. He'll feel, I'm a little worried. I feel some tension. There's some tension in my mind, some anxiousness. I feel some anxiousness in my heart that I think possibly I made an offense to this devotee, to my god brother, god sister, etc. And that feeling is the mercy of Krishna. He's speaking, Super Soul is saying, yes, you have made a mistake. You have committed an aparad, now rectify it. Now eliminate it. Rectify it by falling in the dust of that devotee's feet. Begging him for forgiveness and rendering suitable service, some pleasing service to attract his attention and gain his favor and be exonerated from that transgression at the holy feet of the Vaishnava. So Gadadhar Pandit is showing that this is what happens. This is what happens in the mind of a sincere devotee. He feels some tension, some worry over the possibility of offenses. Mukunderi parva santoshe kari kole sinchilen angatanra premananda jale. Gadadhar Pandit embraced Mukunda with great satisfaction and bathed him in tears of love. So this is the beautiful dealings of the Vaishnavas in the Vaishnava Samaj of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Raja Sabha, that immediately upon recognizing that he had made a faux pas, a mistake, Gadadhar had misjudged. He had misjudged the position of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He had miscalculated. And in one sense, he did make an offense by minimizing him,
minimizing his offense. Minimizing his position, minimizing the position of Pundarik, and considering him a Vishayi, a gross materialist. He made the wrong judgment due to his imperfect senses. He thought seeing was believing. Even though he heard about the glories in Pundarik before meeting him, and he was convinced, he must be a great devotee, let's go see him. I'm anxious to meet him. But then upon meeting him, then he simply surveyed the form of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He surveyed his form with his eyes, and he drew the conclusion, he's puffed up. He's a materialist. He's a Vishayi. I don't see any devotion here. I don't see any great devotee here, although my friend Mukunda was telling me so many glories of this devotee. I see, and by my seeing, I measure, I calculate, I weigh, I conclude, he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's a gross materialist. He's not a Bharo Bhakta. So this was his mistake. His eyes led him astray. His eyes led him into the perilous waters. The perilous waters of Vaishnava Parad. Now, after Mukunda spoke these verses glorifying the mercy Krishna bestowed upon the Rakshasi Putana, and then with his same eyes observing the total transformation and display of septic vikars and septic ecstasies being profoundly shown in the person of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, then those same eyes which misled him into aparad brought him to the right conclusion that I made a big mistake in misjudging this person. Actually, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a very great and exalted devotee of the Lord. Simply by hearing one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's gone completely into transcendental ecstasy. And he's not attached to any of these opulent objects or paraphernalia. In fact, in his own ecstasy, he's destroyed everything. The brass bed, his silk shirt, his diamond studs, gold spittoons, everything's been destroyed. And the flailing of his arms and legs and his rapture of divine bliss absorbed in his Lord, Sri Krishna. Now, he's thinking, all of this mercy, I have been rectified. My mind and consciousness have been rectified. My viewpoint has been corrected by the mercy of a devotee. And that devotee's name is Mukunda. He spoke these verses which brought about this transformation in Pundarik, which I've observed. And he spoke these verses for my benefit. And now he's showing the Vaishnava behavior by showing his gratitude toward Mukunda. Oh, Mukunda, you've been so kind to me. You've shown me all this and you've saved me from the drowning in this ocean of aparad. So then he embraced Mukunda with great satisfaction and bathed him in tears of love. So Gadadhar's love for Mukunda, his appreciation and gratitude for Mukunda came out. And now he's bathing him in his own tears. Are you asking a question? Yeah, I heard this similar question was asked once to one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was asked, well, what if you offend some great devotee and that devotee leaves this world? Not only not being geographically nearby, but you made a serious offense to some devotee. Now he leaves this world, he dies and goes to the spiritual world or wherever. In other words, now how to rectify, how to beg him forgiveness, how to become exonerated from the aparad or free from the reaction which will come to such an aparadi. So his answer was that Krishna will manage and adjust everything according to the sincerity again of the offending devotee. So one with all repentance, and he prays to Krishna in the heart that this devotee I offended, and my Lord, I didn't have a chance to rectify the situation before he left this world. So please somehow, I'm praying and begging you to please forgive me for this offense. And then with that mentality, one may serve other devotees without just taking them as representatives, taking some advanced devotee as representative of that departed Vaishnava, and just render service to them, as if taking that person as if they were the departed Vaishnava. So you actually are physically not just a mental adjustment and a heartfelt prayer to Krishna, which is also required with the backing of repentance. But there's also an outward expression. There's an outward expression which one would do if that person was alive by going to some exalted Vaishnava, maybe a gurubaya of that person or another equally advanced devotee, and just rendering service. And he may inquire, "Oh, why are you serving me?" "Oh, it's for my purification I'm serving you. Please accept my service. Please allow me to render some service to you." This is what can be done. And if the person is still alive and living on the same planet, as soon as possible, although you should repent in separation from him or her, you should repent and pray to Krishna and sincerely pray to Krishna, remove such ignorance from the heart and remove such offending tendency from the heart. At the earliest opportunity, one should approach that Vaishnava directly, personally, and physically to render service at his feet and beg for forgiveness, even if it's years later. Even if it's years later, the devotee may come here and then they travel here and there and you don't see them for years. And you may meet them after many years. I had the same experience myself. Someone came to me once after many, many years. They said, "Do you remember in 1995? This was like in 2005 or something. I didn't really remember. "Do you remember 1995? I did this to you and that to you and this and that." And I said, "Yeah, something now I'm remembering you're telling me." And then he said, "Please forgive me this and that and all these things." I mean, I wasn't harboring any ill feelings, but for him it was important. He felt it was important. So 10 years later, he came and rendered service and so many humble petitions and submissive entreaties. So this is what one can do. There's a lot of discussion on this. What is it? Yes. Yeah, well, the scripture in terms of this case, meaning Vaishnava Aparad, an individual specific Vaishnava Aparad, it's usually dealt with on an individual basis, one-on-one. They actually approach the Vaishnava. Although, and of course, if you approach a Vaishnava, you wouldn't go up to him and say, "You're so great," this and that. But another point, if one has the tendency to categorically to offend Vaishnavas with that same mouth which he uses to speak ill or offensive or ridicule of the Vaishnava or the devotee of the Lord, he should use the same mouth to speak nicely about the devotees, the mahima, the glories of the devotee. But you can't get around the point of personally approaching. It's not enough to just go to some other people and say, "Do you know Krishna Das is a really nice devotee, and you say so many nice things," but you don't actually go to Krishna Das and rectify your situation. All the scriptures that talk about rectification, they talk about personally approaching. Yes. He's Vrindadevi. We're offering up dandavats every day. Mukunda Das Vrindadevi Ki. In regard to the 10 offenses.
Then I'm sure the most important of them is the first offense.
Yes. But in relation to the experiencing, specifically it says in second canto, if one is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and he does not experience some feelings within the heart and some tears in the eyes, then this is indication that he's making offenses to the holy name. And there are 10 offenses in Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Harinam Chintamani added an 11th offense. And we took the liberty to add a 12th offense. So 100 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Padma Puran, it lists 10 offenses. That's where the aparadhas are mentioned. And also in Skanda Puran. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he added an 11th offense. What is that offense? Be inattentive while chanting. And I took the liberty, although it's presumptuous,
But I took the liberty to add a 12th offense. What is the 12th offense? To leave your cell phone on while chanting the holy name. On silent or on anything. On is on. So this is a 12th offense, so you may be an offender to the holy name. 12th offense. We have to update the offenses according to the changing times. Or you could say it's a variation of inattention. But just to make it a solid number, I gave it number 12. Yeah, it's like indifference. So, these 10 offenses, we may think that we might say, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but no tears are coming. It seems that my heart is very hard and framed, bound and bordered by steel, very hard, case-hardened steel. And I don't perceive any softness or softening. And certainly, at least I don't perceive any feelings of softness. What to speak of expressions of a melted heart coming in my eyes as tears of submission or tears of realization of Krishna's Naam and Roop. So, but at the same time, if I examine these 10 offenses, I find I'm scot-free. I'm in a no-offensive zone. That I'm not committing these offenses. But actually, these offenses have many levels. And if we're a little more, let's say, self-analytical, or a little more self-critical of ourselves, we'll see that on one level or another, we actually must be making offenses, because the proof is it's told like this, that if one is not making offenses, then tears will come. So if tears are not coming, that is a proof that one is making offenses. Therefore, believing that, having faith in that Shastric injunction, and believing that, then one has to take a closer, more analytical or critical, self-critical look at the 10 offenses and see how am I really free from them or not. And you see, knowingly or unknowingly, then you have to say, well, maybe it's more knowingly than unknowingly. Oh, Vaishnava, Saruninda, number one, as you mentioned, the primary. Oh, I'm not making any offenses, devotees. But maybe we are. Oh, yeah, actually, last week I made offense. Oh, yeah, and sometimes I make. And then, yeah, I disobey the orders of the spiritual master. I'm actually carrying out the order of the spiritual master. Or that has many shades of meaning. Guru Avagya, am I disregarding him? Or am I seeing him with a material outlook? There's many aspects of that third offense. Disobey the order. Spiritual master said, follow the four regular principles and chant 16 rounds a day. And go on life membership and make some life members. Okay, I'm doing that. That's the order. But that's actually the offense itself is something different than how it's worded. So it's disobey the order. That's the offense in English. But it's guru avagya, means to disregard or to minimize the position of the spiritual master, or to relegate him to be an ordinary man, or to think him as an ordinary person, even slightly or partially. Then you're actually partially offensive. And it's partially offensive to Bhakti Devi. So Bhakti Devi is not flourishing in the heart and revealing her sentiments or the Ladini aspect of her. Because Bhakti carries Ladini. She is Ladini Shakti. And Ladini Shakti brings all these transformations of Bhav and happiness and ecstasy and joy. These are functions of Ladini. So she will withhold her Ladini aspect. She may be giving Samvit. Samvit means knowledge. Bhakti may be giving some knowledge to sustain us. To sustain us and maintain us in the Bhakti Marg. Bhakti Devi is spreading some rays of knowledge. Krishna Sriya Samamayahai Andhakara. But she's not giving her deepest treasure, which is the Ladini aspect. In love. And crying and tears. All these are minute, let me say, preliminary expressions of the manifestation of love in the heart. I think it requires a little bit more serious introspection before we can confidently say that yes, I'm quite free from aparhats. It'd be nice to be so confident, but I think with a closer examination you may find some holes here and there.
And then about the unknowing offenses, there's a general mood. There's a general mood of repentance that's not only an occasional expression. Repentance is not only an occasional expression, but it's a daily mood. It's a daily mood of a devotee. Just like a businessman at the end of every day, if he has some shop, he reviews his stock. How much stock do I have on hand? How many items did I sell? What is my profit? How much money is in the cash register? He takes some accounting. How much he's earned, how much he spent. Any losses? Maybe some mice came in and ate up some boxes of cookies and Parle G crackers. So that's a loss. Five packs. 4 rupees each. 20 rupees lost. So these are losses in the business. So in the same way, the devotee at the end of each day, he's supposed to review his service record. And then he sees, he's praying to the Lord and to Sri Guru, paying obeisances before he takes rest. O Gurudev, O Radharasvi Hari, O Mahishadev, I've tried to serve you today, but actually I'm sure I must have offended some devotee here or there, and I must have been some offensive to my Guru. Please forgive me, I've tried my best, and I'll try again tomorrow to be even more conscientious and more sincere about my practice. And please forgive me for any offenses or aparads that I may have committed knowingly or unknowingly. So this is a basic operating principle of the daily life of a Vaishnava. That there's intense humility. And humility, it expresses itself in various actions and practices. And one of the daily humble practices of devotee is prayer, vandanam, Bhagavan vandanam. Prayer to Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan, hey Sri Krishna. I'm really very fallen. And look at me, I just dragged myself through another day. As we used to say, I remember in the ashram in Los Angeles, we'd wake up and one devotee would look at me and say, Hare Krishna. And he was really quite blissful. And he'd say, Prabhu. And he'd say, Hare Krishna, early in the morning, and we're half dead and half asleep and not so enthusiastic. And just beginning the whole process of sadhana. He'd look at me and say, Prabhu, another day of devotional service. Another day of devotional service. And I would say, yeah, okay. You know. Another day of cutting up vegetables in the kitchen. Another day of taking out the trash cans. Another day of cleaning the toilets, yeah. Another day of devotional service. I'm really excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. I can hardly wait to hit the toilets. Cheto Darvana Marjanam. So, but he had this idea, another day of devotional service. So at the conclusion of a day of devotional service, then we petition the Lord with prayer. We beg with the utmost humility for the forgiveness of our transgressions and oversights in our dealings and our mishandling of our husbands or wives or our fellow devotees. And because we're basically very crude creatures. We're very gross entities in this Kali Yuga, and we're frail and fraught. We are frail and fraught with many problematic or many deficiencies. We're impersonal, we're proud, we're egoistic, we're selfish. All these qualities are quite strongly embedded in everyone's mind. So carrying around these undesirable qualities, we meet a lot of clashes, a lot of conflict. With relatives, with friends, with devotees. Consequently, there's a very strong chance for making offenses. So therefore, knowing that our tendency towards the negative, at the end of every day, this, as I said, this repentance is part of our daily operating principle. I mean, there's hope. It's not that we're like the Christians have this sense of, they have this repent, sinner. We're all sinners, repent. This is one of their slogans or verses that they beat each other over the head with. Repent, sinner. No, but our repentance is progressive. Our repentance is progressive and hopeful. And it's imbued with a sense of joy. Because it's not all bad. It's actually Kevala Anandakanda. Kevala Anandakanda, Paramakaruna, this process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, is chanting, dancing, serving the Lord, is actually joyful. So primarily we're surrounded by joyful activities, and we're engaged in a very blissful and happy process of devotional service. But there's a few pinpricks. There are a few pinpricks, which is our own deficiency, our own frailties and tendency to make aparad, because of weakness of the heart and envious nature. But that is very minute. So to exonerate ourselves from that, or to eliminate those undesirable feelings and sentiments from our heart, then we approach the Lord in a mood of repentance. But for Christians, that's their overriding mood. That's the only mood they have, is repentance, repentance. Jesus died for our sins. Repent, repent. It's a very life-denying, it's very much a life-denying philosophy. It's not a joyful philosophy. You know, their Ishtadev is nailed on the cross and bleeding to death. So our Ishtadev is not nailed on the cross bleeding to death. Our Ishtadev is standing in Tribhangalalitam Niyataprakasham. Tribhangalalitam, Monkey Bihari. This is our Ishtadev. He's standing in threefold bending form, bent at the knee, the waist, and the neck. Right? And he's looking at his beloved, and he's singing and playing the flute. Sweetness. We worship sweetness. We don't worship ghastliness. The Christians worship ghastliness, vivatsaras, gonaras. We worship the sweetness. We worship the sweetness in God. Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. Vena Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, right? Rupa Madhurya. We worship the sweetness, the Madhurya. We're not just saying Rupam and Leelam and Venam and Premam. We're saying Prema Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. So therefore, in Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship the sweetness. We worship sweetness. And we don't worship God or the form of God. We worship the sweetness of the form of God. We don't worship the music and the flute playing of Krishna. We worship the sweetness of the flute playing. We don't worship the prema, Krishna prema. We worship the sweetness of the prema. Braja Madhurya is a speciality of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. A uniqueness, a vishesh. Vishesh tattva. Vishesh guna. So we'll leave this story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi to tomorrow.